Thanks, Joel. Like Steve said, we're continuing in our holiday series, just 3 short weeks of hot topics. And this week's topic is gambling. Gambling is a very prominent part of Australian society. You see it everywhere these days. You can't even watch a game of NRL without hearing about Sportsbet, can you? But it's also been in the news quite a bit lately because of one particular federal MP. His name's Andrew Wilkie. He's been trying to bring in some poker machine reforms, and his push to bring in poker machine reforms has led to no small amount of debate across all pockets of our society. Like, it's been talked about on all the morning shows, it's been debated on talkback radio. There was even a whole Q&A episode devoted to the topic of gambling. Everyone's talking about gambling. Now, as Christians, we want to know what God's word has to say about subjects such as gambling. We know that following God's word is what keeps us out of trouble. When we go against God's word, that's when things go wrong. So what we want to do today is find out what the Bible has to say about the topic of gambling. Is gambling good? Is it bad? Or is it neutral? And why is it good, bad, or neutral? So we're going to begin by seeing if the Bible has anything to say on this subject. Our investigation is then going to include a look into the gambling industry itself, and that'll help us shape our views as well. My hope for this evening is that we'll be able to determine what the Christian response to gambling should be. But, as is my custom, I really love to ask for God's help in that. So how about we bow our heads and I'll lead us in prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for money and its ability to supply us with things like food and clothing, a roof over our heads, as well as entertainment. Yet, Lord, we want to be good stewards of the money you give us. So this evening we are seeking your guidance in regards to gambling. We ask that you will show us your desire for how your people should use their money. Amen. Well, before we can determine whether gambling is good, bad, or neutral, we need to figure out what is gambling anyway? What are we doing when we gamble? And look, in a nutshell, gambling is trying to win something, isn't it? It's usually money, but what we do is we spend a small amount of money buying a ticket or betting on this or that. We spend this small amount of money in the hope of getting a large amount in return. Okay, so when you buy a lotto ticket, you spend $2 hoping to win $1 million. When you go to the races, you bet $1 on a race hoping your horse will come in and you'll win $100. Or playing the poker machine, you put money in hoping that the next turn will win you the jackpot. We're spending a small amount of money in the hope of getting a big amount in return. And this is the action we need to check against the scriptures. What do the scriptures have to say about this action? Is God in favour of gambling or not? Now, you may say, well, wait a minute, Brendan. Spending a small amount of money to get a big in return, isn't that what we do when we're investing our money? I mean, I'll take myself for an example. My wife and I, we have a mortgage. We've got an investment property. And we plug money into that, hoping to slowly pay it off. And down the track, it will have appreciated. We'll have something to show for it. We'll have money back. I mean, isn't that just the same as gambling? Isn't properties or stocks, the stock market, isn't that the same as gambling? Well, look, the big difference between gambling and investing is that when you invest your money, you're putting your money to work. You see, there's productivity involved in investment. When you give your money to someone to invest, they are working for you. They're trying to earn a return for you. And the Bible actually commends this practice. In Matthew 28, don't need to look it up now, but you can write it down if you want. Matthew 25, Jesus praises those people who put their money to work rather than just bury it in their mattress. Gambling, on the other hand, involves no productivity. When you give your money to someone to gamble, they're not doing anything for you with that money. They're not trying to secure a return for you. In fact, gambling is designed to take your money. That's how gambling works. You see, a person who invests money for people, they earn money by earning a return, getting a return for their clients. When you give money to someone who's a gambler, a gambling product, they earn money when they take your money. Gambling is actually the opposite of investment. So tonight, we're not looking at investment. The Bible commends investment. We're looking at the topic of gambling, spending a small amount of money in the hope of winning a large amount in return. So what does the Bible have to say about this? Well, look, to begin with, there's no verse in the Bible that says thou shalt not gamble. You won't be able to find such a verse. On top of that, the Bible actually wants us to earn money. It wants us to get money for ourselves. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, if a man does not work, he does not eat. So the Bible actually wants us to be earning money. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem arises, however, when attaining money stems from greed. So while the Bible does not say thou shalt not gamble, it does speak against greed. And it does so in the strongest terms possible. The Apostle Paul says in Colossians 3:5 that greed is idolatry. Greed is worshipping something or someone other than God. Now that's commandment number one. Serious. So how is this the case? How is greed idolatry? Well, look, greed, by definition, is grasping hold and hoarding what material wealth one has whilst actively seeking to get more. Now, you've all heard of that famous line spoken by Gordon Gekko in Wall Street. What did he say? Greed is good. Is good. Gordon Gekko said greed is good. Greed is right. There was a sequel to that movie a couple of years ago, Wall Street 2, Money Never Sleeps, I think it is. Now, in that movie, the young character, Jacob Moore, asks the rich investment banker, his name's Bretton James, he said to Bretton James, what's your magic number? How much money is enough? Bretton James' response was, my magic number is more. More. That's what he wanted. He just wanted more. Now, that's greed. Greed is striving for more. And the reason greed is idolatry is that the greedy person places their trust or their confidence or their identity in material wealth, in money and possessions, rather than God. Now, the reason they need more is because they don't feel their current wealth can supply them with enough food, enough clothing, enough toys, enough status. And this is what Jesus is speaking against in the passage that was read for us, second half of Matthew chapter 6. If you've got it open there, have a look at verse 31. Jesus says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. See, Jesus says the big problem with greed is we are in effect saying, I don't trust God to supply me with what I need. I don't trust that he can supply me with what I need, so I need to go out there and get it myself. You see, greed is idolatry because we look to material wealth for our well-being rather than God. Notice the dichotomy between the two. This is verse 24. What does Jesus say? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The problem with greed is it means you have replaced the creator of the universe with money. With money. Now, how does this relate to gambling? Remember, gambling offers the person the possibility of a huge return on a small amount of investment. Or you spend a little to get a lot in return. Gambling says if you spend a little, you might win it big. Gambling is not putting your money to work, remember. It is just offering you a chance, just a chance of a huge windfall. What that means is that gambling is based on greed. It appeals to our sense of wanting more. If you saw that sign, $650 million if you just buy this one lotto ticket, you would be tempted because you want more. And it's for this reason that we need to tread really carefully when it comes to gambling. Well, what does this look like in practice? Let's look at some examples. Picture this. You've got someone holidaying in the US, they've gone on a Kentucky tour or some sort of arranged tour, and that tour includes going through Las Vegas. All right? Now, I don't think Christians should want to go to Las Vegas. What is that statement, that phrase they have? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. It's a debauchery. That's what it is. But let's say they're there anyway, and while they're seeing the lights and the sights, they decide, you know what, I want to at least have the Vegas experience. I want to be able to say that I put a quarter in a slot machine. Now, that gambling practice, and it is, it's gambling, but it's not stemming from greed necessarily, is it? They want to be able to go home and say, I put the quarter in the slot machine and I bought the T-shirt. You know, I had the experience. It's not necessarily greed. Or how about a raffle to raise money for your kid's school? What about that one? Now, personally, I would rather stay away from raffles because you could end up being greedy for that major prize. But let's just say that's not your motivation. You don't actually care about the major prize. You don't even know what it is. You just want to help out with a good cause, so you buy a raffle ticket. Again, that gambling action is not necessarily stemming from greed. The problem is, for every gambling action that doesn't stem from greed, there are 99 that do. You see, the reason you buy a lotto ticket is because you want to win the big one. That's the only reason. Having a little flutter at the races may seem like a bit of fun, but you're still wanting to win money. Playing the pokies is almost solely about wanting to win money. And you can't play the tables at the casino without chasing a win. Gambling almost always stems from greed. 99 times out of 100, a person gambles a small amount so they can win a big amount in return. And it is for this reason alone that God says, do not gamble. God is very clear about that. Gambling stems from greed, and greed is idolatry. And friends, we do not want to mess with idolatry. But there's a secondary reason why God's people should avoid gambling. Secondary concern that God's word places before us, and that concern is the effect that gambling has on our community at large. Now, to illustrate this, I'm going to give you some statistics. These stats are from the Australian government's own Productivity Commission. James has put it behind us. They did a report into gambling in 2010. Here are some stats they found out. In 1988 or 89, Australians spent $7 billion on gambling products. So that's 25 years ago. Most of you weren't even born at that stage. $7 billion on gambling products. Now, in the early 90s, the governments around the country started to deregulate poker machines and casinos. There were more casinos popping up, more poker machines in the local clubs and pubs, all right? Deregulated in the noughties, the early 90s, sorry. And what that meant was that in 2008, 2009, Australians spent, thanks James, $19 billion on gambling products. Now that is a rise of 300% in just 20 years. $12 billion of that, $19 billion, was spent on electronic poker machines. How about sports gambling? In 1997, Australians spent $25 million on sports gambling. In the early noughties, around 2000 or whatnot, they deregulated sports gambling. And what that meant was, thanks James, that in 2007, one more, Australians spent $200 million on sports gambling. That is a rise of 800% in just 10 years. Now, what these stats show is that people are more likely to gamble if they have easier access to it. Before that time, you had to go to the Gold Coast to go to the casino up there to gamble. Now, you just go to your local club or pub. Most of them will send a bus to come and get you. But if people have easier access to gambling, they will do it. Now, why is that a problem? It's because the increase in gambling has also resulted in increase in problem gamblers. Thanks, James. The first one is this. It is estimated by the Productivity Commission's report that there are between 80 to 160,000 problem gamblers in Australia. Now, what I mean by problem gamblers? People who are addicted to gambling. Addicted to gambling. Now, on top of that, there are between 230 to 350,000 people in the at-risk category. What does that mean? It means they're not actually addicts, but they gamble to the point at which it hurts them financially. They cannot put food on the table when they've been out gambling. Now, that is around 500,000 people who are being seriously damaged by gambling. Add to that their families, wife and kids. We're talking 1.5 to 2 million people in Australia. That's almost 10% of Australia are being seriously negatively affected by gambling. Now, it gets worse. This problem is compounded by the fact that problem gamblers contribute 40 to 50%, maybe, we don't actually know, but maybe up to 60% of gambling revenue. All the money that comes in from gambling comes, 60% of it comes from these problem or at-risk, problem gamblers. On top of that, thanks James, at-risk gamblers contribute a further substantial amount. They don't know how much, but substantial is talking 10 to 15%. What that means is that 75% of revenue that comes in from gambling comes from people who are being seriously harmed by gambling. Now, what does that mean for the average Aussie, for you and me, who do not gamble that often? It means that when we are using gambling products, we're stealing off these people. Not so much stealing, but we're taking their money. See, if you win at the races, or if you win on the poker machines, where is the money coming from? It's coming from people who can't feed themselves because of their gambling problem. Whenever we gamble, even if it's buying a lotto ticket, we are being part of the problem. Our winnings come from people who cannot afford to be involved in gambling. That is not loving our neighbour, is it? Taking money from the weak, from people who need help. Look, I don't want to leave us with just the negatives. We've looked at the thou shalt nots, all right? You don't gamble because it's greed and it exploits the weak. It is. You're exploiting the weak when you're gambling. But I don't want just to leave us with what we shouldn't do. What should we do? What does the Bible tell us we should do? Well, for this, we need to turn to our passage one last time. Have a look at verse 19. Matthew 6, 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Now, treasures on earth, treasures in heaven, these are strange phrases. We know what treasures on earth are talking about, don't we? Material wealth, money, gold, possessions, whatnot. Jesus is saying, don't be greedy for material wealth. Don't be striving for more money, more wealth, more possessions. He says such pursuits are incredibly short-sighted. How long do you get to enjoy them for? 50, 60 years? You cannot take them with you. Jesus is saying, what about the rest of eternity? You've got this 50 years locked up, but what about the rest of eternity? Instead, Jesus says, pursue treasures in heaven. Now, that's a strange phrase. It could mean a whole manner of things. This morning we looked at how it talks about salvation, all right, forgiveness. What it also refers to is anything that God treasures. Treasures in heaven are things that God treasures. All right? Let me tell you, God does not treasure gold, silver, or precious stones. Heaven is not going to be us sitting around on a huge pile of gold. Revelation 21 tells us in heaven they use gold bars as paving stones. They're not held in high regard up there. If we could reduce treasures in heaven down to just one thing, I think it would be love. Okay? What does God really treasure? He treasures love. What are the two greatest commandments? Love God, love your neighbor. Everything hangs on that. Love. That's what God treasures. Now, we see this in God himself. The Father loves the Son loves the Father loves the Spirit, etc., etc. We also see it in how God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. Love is where it's at for God. So here's the question. How can we use our money to love rather than to gamble? To love God and love our neighbor. It's not by gambling, is it? We've already seen that gambling is not loving your neighbor, it's loving yourself. It's being greedy for yourself at the expense of others. Gambling is not loving. It's the opposite. To love, we need to find ways to be generous with our money. How can we use our money to help others? Now, don't get me wrong, we still need to put food on our table, roof over our heads. The Bible tells us to look after ourselves, not be a burden on others. But rather than wanting more for yourself above that, how can we be generous? Look, we can start by continuing to be generous with our church. We're doing well with our budget at the moment, but we're only just meeting budget. Continue to be generous in that area. And as the Bible says, generosity with God starts at 10% of your income. Be generous with missionary organizations like CMS. Be generous with charities. Anglicare, Compassion. The Archbishop has different appeals here and there. Give to Africa. Be generous by opening up your home to others if you have one. People have actually been incredibly generous with our family this week by cooking us meals because we've got a newborn in the house. Many different ways. Substitute your own little example in. How can you be generous with your money? Look, I guess my point is that gambling is not just being a poor steward of the money God's blessed us with. It is by very nature an attempt to store up treasures on earth. And we're doing it at the expense of the poor and the weak and the needy. Rather than be greedy, God calls us to love others. So let's think about ways that we can use our money. Let's be generous, just as God has been generous with us. Amen.